This is a Bloomberg Daybreak for this Thursday, July 26, 2018. Coming up this hour,
shares of Facebook plummet as the social network warns of slowing growth.
The U.S. and EU announce a deal to avoid a trade war.
European automakers surge as President Trump puts tariffs on hold.
And shares of Ford fall to cap a nightmare day of earnings for U.S. car companies.
Several House Republicans are pushing to impeach Deputy Attorney General Ron Rosenstein. Plus, President Trump is delaying a second summit with Russian leader Putin. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Yankees lost to Tampa Bay. The Mets beat San Diego and won the series. The Giants training camp underway. The Jets begin theirs today.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston. Bloomberg 960 San Francisco. Sirius XM 119. And around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm John Tucker. Bloomberg Daybreak is being brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit sectorspdrs.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF.
Equities in Europe are gaining while a slump in tech stocks weighs on U.S. futures this morning. It is 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down 6 points this morning. Dow futures higher, up 22. NASDAQ futures falling, down 67. The DAX in Germany is up 1.4%. The CAC in Paris up 0.7%. FTSE 100 down less than 0.1%. The Nikkei 225 in Japan was down 0.1%. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong down 0.5%. 10-year Treasury up 3/32, yield 2.96%. Yield on the 2-year 2.66%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.2% or 13 cents to $69.17 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.3%, down $3.70 to $12.3730 an ounce. The euro, $1.1712. The yen, 110.73. John.
And we begin with Facebook. Shares are plunging, down 17% in early trading after earnings that missed estimates. Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett reports.
Average daily visitors missed analyst projections. The company's user growth fell short of expectations in the same quarter that CEO Mark Zuckerberg testified for 10 hours before Congress. It also came as Europe implemented strict new data laws, which Facebook had warned could lead to fewer daily visitors in that region. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Charlie, thank you. A quick bounce back for Facebook is not likely. The company's chief financial officer says revenue growth is set to decline again in the third and fourth quarters. Clive McDonnell is an equity strategist at Standard Chartered.
The guidance going into the second half is pretty poor. The fallout from the European data regulations seems to be a lot more significant for Facebook. They're losing 1 million-plus daily active users in Europe at the moment. So I think that is really where the concern is. What impact that will have on ad revenue is likely to put downward pressure on the share price at the U.S. Open today.
Facebook's market value fell as much as $150 billion in late trading.
And if that level holds today, it would be the largest one-day collapse in value ever for a U.S. company. Crawford DePratt is the chief research officer for IDC Research.
This company is entering a new chapter. And when you look at the growth that they were telegraphing, that growth is dropping, right? So their constant currency growth rate number was down to about 38%. They're telegraphing something in the mid-30s going forward. We haven't really seen this from Facebook. That's the big change here, is that they're entering a new lower growth chapter. And there are all kinds of ramifications for that.
For Facebook, financial stumbles have been rare. The last time it missed revenue estimates was the first quarter of 2015.
Our other top story this morning, developments on trade, with President Trump and European Commission Chief Jean-Claude Juncker reaching an agreement to avoid a trade war.
We agreed today, first of all, to work together towards zero tariffs, zero non-tariff barriers, and zero subsidies on non-auto industrial goods.
At their White House meeting, Jean-Claude Juncker stressed the need for both sides to focus on reducing tariffs.
We made a deal today because we agreed that no other tariffs would be introduced as long as we are in negotiations.
As part of the agreement, the EU plans to import more soybeans and liquefied natural gas from the U.S.
U.S. stocks jumped following that announcement from Mr. Trump and Juncker, but as Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter tells us, there's reason to temper optimism.
This is quite similar to what we saw happen with China, where there were sort of initial positive signs, and then those didn't really materialize. Both sides ended up kind of backing away. So I think it's important to kind of keep that in mind. But with that caveat, I would add that I think this is significantly more substantive progress than what we might have expected 24 hours ago.
And for now, the threat of new tariffs from the White House on auto imports appears to be receding.
And that is shares of car companies in Europe surging this morning. Bloomberg's Sebastian Salek joins us live from London with the latest. Good morning, Sebastian.
Good morning, Karen and John. Well, you might say the auto sector is racing ahead. Stocks up by 1.7%, the best performing sector on the Stoxx 600. That's despite weak earnings from Daimler. The big names among those top gainers include Fiat Chrysler up by 4%, Porsche up by 3.3%, and Volkswagen up by just over 3% as well. We heard from Germany's VDA Auto Industry Association. They called the meeting a big step forward and good news for the industry and consumers on both sides of the Atlantic. But the trade debate isn't over. The EU Parliament still has to approve any agreement, and the White House could change its mind on auto tariffs. So this relief rally may not have as long legs as it might seem. Live in London, I'm Sebastian Salek, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Seb, thanks. It's a different story for car companies here in the U.S. Shares of Ford down more than 2% in early trading after the company projected $11 billion in charges linked to a restructuring plan. General Motors and Fiat Chrysler stocks also slumped after earnings yesterday.
Qualcomm is scrapping its $44 billion bid for NXP Semiconductors after China failed to approve the deal before a midnight deadline. Qualcomm will pay NXP a $2 billion breakup fee and buy back as much as $30 billion in stock. Shares of Qualcomm are up 4% in early trading.
And some of the stocks out of Europe moving on earnings, Airbus, British American Tobacco, Nestle, AstraZeneca, and Total all gaining after reporting results. Shares falling after earnings including Nokia, AB InBev, and Royal Dutch Shell. This is Bloomberg. And it's 5:07 of Wall Street. Let's get news from around the world this morning. We say good morning to Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you, John. President Donald Trump will delay a second summit with Russian leader Vladimir Putin until next year. National Security Advisor John Bolton cited Special Counsel Robert Mueller's investigation into Russian interference in the 2016 presidential election in a statement announcing the delay. Bolton says the president believes that the next bilateral meeting with President Putin should take place after the Russia witch hunt is over. It looks like the rift between conservative Republican members of Congress and the Department of Justice has gotten wider. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter reports.
A group of 11 legislators has filed articles of impeachment against Deputy U.S. Attorney General Rod Rosenstein. They say this is a result of almost 9 months of unsuccessful attempts to force the Department of Justice to comply with oversight requests. Bloomberg's Billy Howe says whether it will ever come for vote is another question.
Now, our interviews with other House Republicans say that close to the election, the congressional elections in November, there's really no appetite for even Republicans to vote for this beyond this small cadre of House conservatives.
In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Republican Representatives Mark Meadows and Jim Jordan are leading the impeachment resolution. An explosive device was detonated near a public area at the U.S. Embassy in Beijing. A U.S. Embassy spokesperson says other than the bomber, there were no injuries. British officials are still considering allowing the EU to impose its market regulations on Northern Ireland after Brexit, while the rest of the UK breaks away. Bloomberg's Alex Morales has more from London.
A person familiar with the matter told Bloomberg the plan would come into force as a backstop if other options fail, in order to guarantee that there won't be a hard border with Ireland. The plan, which first surfaced in June, remains on the table, even though it has the potential to alienate Prime Minister Theresa May's political allies, the Democratic Unionist Party. The 10 lawmakers from Northern Ireland's DUP prop up May's Conservatives in the House of Commons, and without their votes, she would struggle to pass legislation. In London, Alex Morales, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. Coming up on 5:10 of Wall Street, time now for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. We say good morning to John Stashower.
John, the Yankees happy to be out of Tampa Bay, a place they usually enjoy going to, spend the spring there. The Rays, a team with a payroll that's a fraction of the Yanks, and yet last two trips down, Yanks have won one game, lost five. Rays won yesterday 3-2. Yanks had the tying and go-ahead run was on in the ninth inning. Brett Gardner struck out on a 3-2 pitch that would have been ball four, would have been bases loaded for Aaron Judge. They're back home tonight for lowly Kansas City, start of a four-game series. The Red Sox started their game with Baltimore but couldn't finish it due to rain. Yanks are 5.5 games behind Boston, who has added a starting pitcher, guy who used to be with the Yanks, Nathan Eovaldi. Yankee career ended with Tommy John surgery. He was acquired by the Red Sox from the Rays. The Mets won a series, first time since May, 6-3 over San Diego, so actual back-to-back victories. First career win for Corey Oswalt. Anthony Swarzak now closing with Jeurys Familia traded away. He got the save. Yoannis Cespedes indeed having surgery on his heels out this year and most, if not all, of next season. The Giants hopeful this season will be a lot better than last year's. Rookie running back Saquon Barkley could be the difference. Here's Eli Manning.
He's done a good job coming in, studying the playbook, knowing his stuff, having questions, you know, just being dialed into everything that he's supposed to be doing. So I've been impressed in that situation. Obviously, his on-the-field stuff is impressive. He's, you know, make plays and you know, no pads on or anything yet, but just catching the football, being an athlete, you know, excited to get the pads on and see what he can do.
Odell Beckham wants a new contract, but he was on hand at the start of training camp. The Jets begin their training camp today. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. John?
All right, thanks, John. Horse racing news. Triple Crown winner Justify is retiring after suffering from inflammation in his ankle. Justify earned almost $4 million on the track, but is said to make much more. His breeding rights reportedly have been sold for more than $70 million. Some breaking news on the Bloomberg terminal this morning. NXP says Qualcomm has ended its purchased agreement. It'll get $2 billion in compensation as a result. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Daybreak brought to you by National Realty, developers of Prime, New York, Hoboken, Philadelphia, and Delray Beach Real Estate. Up to 20% return properties. See them at nria.net.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. European stocks are advancing following a mixed session in Asia as investors grapple with a slew of catalysts, including an apparent easing of trade tension between the U.S. and Europe and a flood of corporate earnings. The euro is fluctuating ahead of an ECB rate decision. NASDAQ futures are pointing to a lower open after Facebook tumbles in early trading as revenue and user growth missed analyst estimates, but there was little sign of wider contagion. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down 5 points. Dow futures up 25. NASDAQ futures down about 64. The DAX in Germany is up 1.5%. 10-year Treasury up 3/32, yield 2.96%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.66%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.2% or 11 cents to $69.19 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.3%, down $3.80 to $12.3720 an ounce. The euro, $1.1709, the yen 110.75. Facebook is down almost 17% in early trading. And today we are also watching for reports on wholesale inventories at 8:30 Wall Street time, along with a weekly report on initial jobless claims as well as durable goods orders, the Bloomberg Consumer Comfort Index at 9:45, and more than 70 companies in the S&P 500 are scheduled to report earnings today. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's John Tucker with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, John.
Thank you very much, Karen. Several House conservatives are pushing for impeachment Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein on grounds that demands for documents about sensitive investigations have been ignored. The Trump administration is racing against a court-imposed deadline today to reunite families who were forcibly separated at the U.S.-Mexico border. In baseball, the Yankees lost, the Mets won, the Red Sox-Orioles game was postponed. The Nationals and A's were winners. The Giants lost. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
You're a much more handsome John Tucker, by the way. You heard Karen just say that investors are grappling with a slew of catalysts. What are those catalysts? Maybe earnings? Daniel Morris is senior investment strategist at BNP Paribas. He joins us from a very steamy London this morning. So what's in the driver's seat, Dan, for investors?
Well, I guess it's kind of a goal or a hope that the foot that was on the brake goes away, because we've had good earnings growth so far this season. That's clearly been supportive of the market. But if you look at how particularly U.S. equities have done this year, you think it's not as good as you really think it should be, given that underlying strength of the economy. So the brake has been concerns about a tariff war and trade wars. That seems to have lessened significantly over the last 24 hours. And it's just a hope that that continues. But it may be, to be honest, a bit of a faint hope.
Well, why do you say that?
Well, you know, we've for now stepped back, it seems, with the chance of higher tensions with Europe. But don't forget, we still have the NAFTA negotiations to be completed and a new president in Mexico. China, I think, looms ever large. And there's not just the tariff issues with China. It's around intellectual property. It's around foreign investment and so on. And I think those are going to be more contentious, probably not quite so easy to resolve. So we kind of have three fronts, if you will, on the trade war. We've had a bit of a reprieve on one side, but we've got two others to worry about.
Are they starting to bite into the company's outlooks and earnings?
I think absolutely it's potential, certainly when we get to China. If you see either direct restrictions on activities of U.S. companies in China.
Well, I mean, already, are you seeing it already in the earnings?
Well, I mean, that's a good question, because in terms of the commentary you're getting from some of the companies with earnings season reports, there are hints that they see, you know, as we saw recently with the automakers, the increased cost for steel and aluminum. But it probably is, I think, for the market as a whole, too soon to really expect to see an impact from the discussions, because very few tariffs have actually been imposed so far. It's more the concern about the outlook. It's about the guidance, which has been a bit weak. But eventually, yes, if these tariffs are there, if they continue, it's going to have an impact on corporate earnings, it's certain.
So what do you tell investors? Stick to, at least in the U.S., to domestic stocks that aren't impacted as much from trade concerns? What's the investment strategy right now?
Well, I think there's a couple reasons to have exactly that type of perspective. I mean, number one, you know, we don't expect the trade tensions to disappear overnight, so that's going to probably continue to weigh on large cap U.S. equities. At the same time, of course, dollar strength is going to hurt the exporters. That's another reason to prefer the more domestic oriented companies. So we do think that makes sense strategically. U.S. economy obviously still very strong, expecting 4% growth to be announced on Friday. So the underlying momentum is still very positive. Where you do see the risk, it is more on the international front, and that's going to be the biggest exposure for the large caps.
Okay, for large caps on the international front, we have the ECB meeting and looking for, I guess, some clarification as to when this is all going to end, the easy policy. And do you start sort of bottom fishing for financial stocks, for instance?
Well, that's going to be crucial whether we get any clarification on the prospect for rate hikes in Europe. There's now some confusion about what the ECB actually said at the last meeting. Were they going to be keeping rates low through the end of summer next year or just until the summer of next year? The markets initially interpreted it as it was going to be after the summer next year, and so that helped support the dollar because euro weakened and interest rates were further off. Now there's a concern that the interest rate hikes could come sooner. So it's whether we get any clarification there is going to be the key driver of expectations for rates in the Eurozone and certainly then for financials. So honestly, I think it's a bit of wait and see. We don't know how much clarification we'll get out of Draghi, but that's going to be the key thing we think is going to come out of this upcoming meeting.
Let me bounce back to the U.S. I know you can't comment specifically on a company like Facebook, but is this stock-specific, or does it give a further indication of problems within tech? Because we have the NASDAQ futures at least down 62 right now.
Yeah, well, I think it does point to the vulnerability, honestly, that you have in U.S. equities, and you've had for quite a while. If you look at returns year-to-date for S&P 500, 75% of the gains have come from tech. So that's fantastic as long as the earnings come through to support that type of price appreciation. But, you know, given the divergence between tech returns and all of the other sectors, if there's a stumble, like honestly we've just seen with Facebook, you expect to have an outsized reaction to the markets. And I think that's what we've seen so far, certainly in early trading. trading for the company. So whether it's a bellwether for the rest of the sector, not necessarily, but it just points out how vulnerable the sector is to disappointments given how well it's done.
Dan, thank you very much. Daniel Morris, senior investment strategist at BNP Paribas, joining us from London this morning. And we'll take a closer look at Facebook just ahead with Gene Munster in the next half hour. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Daybreak brought to you by BNB Bank, from Montauk to Manhattan, partnering with business in their financial success with local decision-making, custom solutions, and attention to detail. BNB Bank, many success stories, one bank, bnbbank.com.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm John Tucker. We're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. We're following the sell-off in Facebook shares. The stock is down almost 17% following disappointing earnings. Scott Kessler is Deputy Global Director at CFRA and downgraded Facebook from buy to hold about a month ago.
The stock wasn't fully reflecting some of the risks, and there are a number of risks, but I would point to the core platform being mature and really not being a growth vehicle anymore.
Facebook is weighing on other tech heavyweights. NASDAQ futures are down almost 1%, while Twitter and Snap are down about 3%. Alphabet is lower by 1%.
We'll get another update on the tech sector today with earnings from Amazon, Intel, and more than 70 other companies in the S&P 500.
Shares of Ford are down more than 2%. The second largest U.S. automaker joined GM and Fiat Chrysler in lowering forecasts for 2018.
Visa shares fell more than 1% in extended trading, the company lowering its forecast for a full year earnings per share growth rate.
Qualcomm shares are up more than 6%. The company is scrapping its $44 billion bid for NXP semiconductors after China failed to approve the deal before a final deadline. Qualcomm also plans to buy back as much as $30 billion in stock.
Shares of Biogen fell 11% in late trading. Investors were disappointed with test results for an experimental Alzheimer's disease drug.
And just over 2 hours from now, the European Central Bank makes a policy decision. Let's get more from Bloomberg's Paul Gordon in Frankfurt.
The ECB took most of the big decisions at its June meeting, meaning the July session could be relatively quiet. But there's still plenty for President Mario Draghi to be quizzed about in his press conference. That includes the outlook for the economy amid trade conflicts that remain a concern, despite concessions by the US and EU on Wednesday. And there's its reinvestment strategy under quantitative easing, which could have implications for the bond market once net asset purchases end this year. In Frankfurt, Paul Gordon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Paul, thank you. S&P futures are down 4 points this morning. Dow futures up 32, NASDAQ futures down 61. The DAX in Germany is up 1.5%. 10-year Treasury up 4/32, yield 2.95%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.66%. NYMEX crude oil down about 0.1%, down 5 cents to $69.25 a barrel. And COMEX gold is down 0.25% or $3.10 to $12.37.90 an ounce. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 5:33 on Wall Street. Let's get news from around the world this morning. And we say good morning to Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you, John. It looks like a trade war has been averted for now. Bloomberg's Nathan Hager reports the leaders of the United States and the European Union have cut a deal on trade.
I had the intention to make a deal today, and we made a deal.
European Commission President Jean-Claude Juncker, after emerging from a two-hour closed-door White House meeting with an agreement to work toward boosting U.S. soybean and liquefied natural gas imports and to hold off on further tariffs while negotiations continue. President Trump says both sides want to aim for zero tariffs.
This was a very big day for free and fair trade.
Neither leader took questions after their joint appearance at the White House Rose Garden. In Washington, I'm Nathan Hager, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Several House conservatives called for impeaching Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein on grounds that demands for documents about sensitive investigations have been ignored. The effort is led by Republicans Mark Meadows and Jim Jordan. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo fiercely defended the Trump administration's foreign policy on Capitol Hill, facing tough questions from Republican and Democratic senators about North Korea, Russia, Iran, and more. There was this feisty exchange between Pompeo and Democrat Bob Menendez, ranking member on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, about President Trump's two-hour private meeting with Russian President Putin in Helsinki.
Senator, I understand the game that you're playing.
Mr. Secretary, with all due respect, I don't appreciate you characterizing my questions. My questions is to get to the truth. We don't know what the truth is.
Meanwhile, the White House says President Trump will delay a second summit with Putin until next year. Yosemite National Park has been closed as firefighters battle the Ferguson wildfire that has threatened the park's forest. Park spokesman Scott Gediman.
Based upon that poor air quality and the weather forecast that's saying it will persist, we decided to close Yosemite Valley.
Yosemite Valley will be closed at least until Sunday. Meanwhile, in Southern California, a new fire is burning in the mountains east of L.A. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. Coming up on 5:36 at Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
John, Yankees have come home wondering about a power outage. The team with the second most home runs in the majors just went three straight games at Tampa Bay without a single homer. They lost yesterday 3-2. Sergio Romo got an unusual save for the Rays. Got two outs in the eighth inning, got moved to third base to start the ninth so they could use a lefty against Greg Bird. Romo returned to the mound, got the last two outs, the last one a strikeout of Brett Gardner, who was asked about making up 5.5 games on the first-place Red Sox.
Well, I mean, we just have to play better baseball. I mean, it sounds simple, but we can't worry about what other teams are doing, especially when we're not playing them. I mean, we just have to go out and win games. It doesn't matter who we're playing. So, we've got a lot of baseball left, but, I do feel, I feel confident that the best is yet to come, and we can be better than we've been, and I expect us to be, including myself.
Yanks start a four-game series with Kansas City tonight at the stadium. Gary Sanchez on the disabled list, a recurrence of a groin injury, and the Yanks say Sanchez may not play until September. Yoenis Cespedes headed for surgery on his heels. He's the highest-paid outfielder in baseball. He may not play again until 2020. Mets are in Pittsburgh tonight. Pirates just saw their 11-game winning streak come to an end. The Mets have won two in a row. That doesn't happen often. They beat San Diego 6-4, a homer for Jose Bautista. Corey Oswalt's first Major League win. First series the Mets have won since a sweep of Arizona back in mid-May. 17 straight series they have failed to win. Odell Beckham without a new contract, but on hand for the start of Giants training camp. The first for new coach Pat Shurmur. The Jets open up camp today. For the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. John?
John, thank you. 5:37 on Wall Street. And the latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now, with a cover on the possible lasting effects from the brewing trade war. Also in this week's issue, how a new CEO is working to transform Hewlett-Packard Enterprise. Jeff Muskus edited the story for Bloomberg Business Week.
You know, the world is getting more cloud computing centric than ever, and Hewlett-Packard is still kind of struggling to catch up with that world.
You can read more about this and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week. Know what matters and why. Visit businessweek.com or pick up a copy of the magazine on newsstands now to access insights and analysis on the global stories that matter most. It is now 5:38 on Wall Street. Time now for the Tri-State Business Report. Let's check in with Bloomberg's Joan Doniger. Good morning, Joan.
Good morning, John. Connecticut's Bond Commission has approved spending $10 million to study the idea of putting tolls on interstate highways in Connecticut. That money would provide needed revenue for the State Transportation Fund. Governor Daniel Malloy says Nearly half of that money could be generated by out-of-state drivers and trucks. Home sales in the Hamptons fell 13% last quarter from a year ago. A report from appraiser Miller Samuel and Douglas Element Real Estate says it is the biggest drop in a couple of years and is the second straight quarter of year-over-year declines. Douglas Element says buyers are waiting for prices to drop before making any deals. And New Jersey is taking one of the first concrete steps needed to build wind farms off the Jersey Shore. The Board of Public Utilities rule would provide a framework for how ratepayer subsidies would get to developers and how revenues earned by projects from the electricity produced could be returned to utility customers. NJ Spotlight says the framework ensures developers get the long-term funding stream needed to get Wall Street funding. With the Tri-State Business Report, I'm Joan Doniger. John?
All right, thanks, John. 5:39 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WBBM in Chicago, I'm reporting that soybeans are jumping as the U.S. and European Commission agree to a ceasefire in their trade spat.
I'm Steve Podesk, and on KYW in Philadelphia, I'm reporting on quarterly results from Comcast.
I'm Marcus Carlson on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on a contentious plan for the Irish border after Brexit.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KRLD in Dallas. U.S. airlines have started to alter their websites to meet China's demand on Taiwan's name.
I'm Andrew O'Day on WBZ in Boston. I'm reporting on spring quarter results for the parent of Dunkin' Donuts.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. And ahead of the open on Wall Street, S&P futures right now, they are down 4 points. The Dow futures are higher, up 41 points. And the Nasdaq E-mini futures being led lower by shares of Facebook. Right now, the Nasdaq E-mini futures down 58 points. Facebook shares, the most active in the pre-market right now, they are down 16.8%. And just ahead, we'll speak with analyst Gene Munster on what happened with Facebook. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Daybreak brought to you by Investors Bank. Connect with the experts in Investors Bank with strong relationships and customized solutions. They work with your business every step of the way. Investors Bank, banking in your best interest. Member FDIC.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Equities in Europe are gaining while a slump in tech stocks weighs on U.S. futures as results from Facebook weigh on the sector. Investors are grappling with a slew of catalysts, many of which showed in Asia trading today. We get details from Bloomberg's Juliette Sully.
The broader topics index rose by 0.7% in Japan to close at 1,765 points. Earlier in the session, Japan's benchmark bond yield touched a one-year high of 0.1% amid speculation the central bank could adjust its ultra-loose monetary policy at next week's meeting. The yuan erased earlier gains as investors remain concerned about the U.S.-China trade relationship, despite the strongest daily fix from the PBOC in 3 weeks. Stocks in Shanghai posted a second day of losses. But tech players in the region outperformed despite, or perhaps in spite, of Facebook's after-hours tumble. The TAIEX in Taiwan was up 0.4%. The KOSPI rose by 0.7% in Seoul, also boosted by shipbuilders and positive export numbers. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliet, thank you. And Facebook is lower in early trading. It's down 17% right now. That's weighing on NASDAQ futures. They're down about 61 points. S&P futures down 4.5. Dow futures are up 39. DAX in Germany's up 1.4%. 10-year Treasury up 2/32. Yield 2.96%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.66%. NYMEX crude oil, little change, down 4 cents to $69.26 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.4%, down $4.70 to $12.36.30 an ounce. The euro, $1.1712. The yen, 110.82. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Karen. A group of 11 House conservatives introduced articles of impeachment against Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein, who oversees Special Counsel Robert Mueller's investigation into Russian election interference. House Republicans have criticized Rosenstein for not being responsive enough as they have requested documents related to the Russia investigation. Chinese police say an explosion outside the U.S. Embassy in Beijing was caused by a small homemade device set off by a 26-year-old man who heard only himself. In baseball, the Yankees lost. The Mets won. The Red Sox-Orioles game was postponed. The Nationals and A's were winners. The Giants lost. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. 5:50 on Wall Street. Let's get more on our top story now. The sell-off in Facebook shares following the company's disappointing earnings report. For more, we're joined by Gene Munster, managing partner and co-founder of Loop Ventures. Gene, thanks for being with us. Did you get satisfactory answers in the call yesterday?
Yeah, we got enough answers, John, to explain what was really an unprecedented event. And let me just quickly recap what happened. Is it kind of went from bad to worse. The bad part was that the company missed street expectations on revenue. Last quarter, they beat by 5%, and for the first time, they missed their user growth number. So the stock was down, call it 8%, and then it dropped dramatically more when they gave this more detailed guidance. And to your question is, did they give enough details around why they're bringing guidance from revenue growth of 42% in the just reported quarter to what will be about 25% growth in the December quarter? And the answer to your question is I am satisfied with the explanation. And the quick explanation is that the user growth is being impacted by better privacy, and separately is that they have a new feed called Stories, which has less monetization. So I feel good about the explanation, but unfortunately the explanation is not really good for Facebook.
When you say better privacy, they've basically changed some aspects of the platform to initiate that. Is that going to cut into further user growth?
Right. And what it impacted was just Europe in the June quarter. And so and then they're going to roll that out across the world over the next couple quarters.
OK, so initially, I mean, they could blame regulation in Europe, but you don't expect that to have long term impact.
Well, I think it will. It does change the growth profile of Facebook. And I think as investors have processed all this, that is going to be the key takeaway. This is going from a hyper-growth story that's traditionally been greater than 40% to at next year will probably be just more of a normal growth story, like Google-esque 20% type of growth. And so do I think that – I think that there are some – real issues around GDPR and privacy that are fundamentally impacting their business for the long term, but this is still generally a good business.
Okay. It sounds like you're also saying that it's just becoming a more mature business, a more mature company.
Exactly. And we've had this surprising, as we talked about, hyper growth phase. But at some point you reach and there'll be, call it $70 billion in revenue next year. It's just these law of large numbers also impact it. But I think the real substance here again is, that this has been, they've added a lot of users. There's about 1.5 billion people visit Facebook every day. It's an unprecedented in its size. But when you get up to those big numbers, you start adding more privacy controls. It's inevitable that that user growth is going to be negatively impacted.
Okay, the ad revenue, that's been skyrocketing. Are you a little befuddled that that hasn't continued?
Yeah, so on the ad revenue piece, there's two factors that impact that. One, engagement, how many people. We've talked a lot about that this morning. And second is this idea that they are directing people away from their traditional news feed to what they call stories, which they don't have as expensive ads. The ads are cheaper for advertisers on that. And so that has negatively impacted ad growth. So that shift from news feed to stories was another reason for this dramatic guide down.
Like so many investments, I look to my children and what they're using. And you know what? They are using Instagram. That's got to be a bright spot for now and for the future.
definitely is. They talked a lot about Instagram and the fact that it is a bright spot. They just came out with Instagram TV last quarter, so they're also getting into the video game that could be competing with likes of YouTube and maybe even longer-term original content like Netflix. So that is definitely a bright spot. Messenger is another bright spot. They deliver between Messenger and WhatsApp, those two platforms, 100 billion messages a day. There's, call it, 7.5 billion people in the world. That's a lot of messages. So engagement more broadly is still high with the active users.
In the pre-market, right now, shares down, what, 16.8% for Facebook. Are you going to start nibbling?
So I think that this is really going to be range bound over the next quarter. I don't see any urgency. When it was down 22% in the aftermarket a few hours ago, it seemed like that was an overreaction. But at this point, if this feels like the right down 17%, the right balance. So we'll see how it trades today, but I don't see any urgency to own Facebook here. Give it a quarter, let it settle out and kind of revisit it in 3 months after we get some confidence that in fact these new regulations around data protection aren't having further negative impact on user growth.
Have you changed your outlook, stock outlook for the company?
So we are a research firm. We cover Facebook. We don't have a formal price target. We leave that up to investors. But what we have said is that the growth profile of this company is different today, very different today than it was yesterday. Longer term, we see Facebook as probably one of the it's still a good story, but there are much better stories to own, like, for example, Apple.
Well, specific to Facebook, are these problems that we saw with this big surprise that we got yesterday after the close, is it company-specific? Is there also maybe a broader story for tech in general?
There is a small, broader story. If you're going to break this down, the problem into three pieces, we've talked about two of the three, which is GDPR and also this shift away from newsfeed to stories. But the other one is the foreign currency, the FX impact. And so that has had an impact. They outlined it as kind of about a 3% of that overall impact. So I think that you will see some analysts make some adjustments to how they think about this more broadly across all tech companies on their expectations about the impact that FX is going to have. And so, and separately, as you have Amazon reporting tonight and the stock has done well, the stocks that have done exceptionally well in the near term, Facebook and Netflix, and both of those have traded off after they reported their quarters recently. So I think you're going to see a little bit of intrepidation from investors going into Amazon's print tonight.
What do you expect from Amazon tonight?
So the big factor that people will focus in on is growth of the items sold. And in the last few quarters, it's been kind of in that low 20% range. If they can continue to deliver that, I think that the story is going to be very much intact. The second thing is to get some read. They don't break it out every quarter, but some read in the number of Prime memberships that they've added. Prime Day just happened a couple weeks ago, and that's a key area where they add new Prime users. So those are some of the two areas we're going to be most focused in on. And I think I expect that the fundamentals are going to be fine with Amazon. I would also expect probably the stock, given it's had such a big move, I'm not expecting a big move higher on the print tonight.
Gene, always a pleasure. We appreciate your time this morning. Gene Munster, managing partner and co-founder at Loop of Ventures. Again, Facebook shares right now, they're down 17.3% in the pre-market after those disappointing results last night. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.